South of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came up to play. And now as I wander, my thoughts ever stray.
Hi, everybody. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you what it's really like to live, work, play, and or retire in Latin America. I tell it just like it is, so let's get started. Now, on my last show, I was giving you a preview as to how big city Latin American newspapers scare the crap out of you. Or more to the point, they scare the crap out of expat wannabes who might happen to pick one up or download one, and subsequently need a change of underwear after they've read through the first 8 or 10 pages. But, like I said before, the average Latin just skips those first 8 or 10 pages and heads over to the sports or entertainment section. Kind of like what the average person in the first world does too. That is, if you're one of the few left who reads the paper anymore. Up there, it's certainly a dying art, but down here, due to the lag time effect, newspapers are in fact alive and well, and they're going to stay that way for 5 or 10 years at least. And that's mostly because internet penetration hasn't hurt newspapers yet like it's had up in the first world. Down here, there's only about 15% internet penetration in the home. So newspapers are still the undisputed marketing and advertising kings. The fact is, Latin American newspapers have huge circulations. They're very inexpensive, like 50 cents or less a copy. And placing a classified or a want ad in one of those things is dirt cheap. The same with traditional radio stations down here. They're alive and well, too, with no signs at all of them losing ground to the internet. Again, because internet penetration in the home is so minuscule. But because of that gringo advantage, even a dull gringo up in the States knows that newspapers are dying, and that traditional radio and television are on their last legs, too. We're not clairvoyant, but because of that, we know the same thing is going to happen down here in Latin America in a few years. But the people down here, they don't see it. And if I bring up my predictions in polite conversation, people look at me like I'm nuts. Everyone down here thinks a radio station or a newspaper is a gold mine. And for the moment, they are. But you and I know, in a few years, they'll be as obsolete as VHS videotapes. In fact, you'd be dumping your money down the toilet if you invested in one right now. But Latins, they don't know that. Talking to them right now was like talking to a first world home builder or a guy from Century 21 or Remax during the first world real estate bubble. If you'd have just hinted that the bubble was going to pop, they'd have either laughed at you or thought you were nuts. Now, that's what our gringo advantage is all about, really. Because we saw the very same thing happen up in the first world some time ago. Anyway, let's get back to all that bad news in the Honduran newspaper. Last week I got through the first 3 pages of bad news, and now let's go on to page 4. In big bold-faced type, we have a report here that says, it was just discovered that a building that was bought by the government was paid for twice. 3 years ago, the building was bought for $2.5 million, and 6 months ago, another check for $2.5 million was issued to the same corporation. A corporation, by the way, that happens to be conveniently outside of the country. An offshore corporation. The article concludes by saying, no one seems to know where that duplicate $2.5 million went. And the politician who brokered the deal is long gone. There's been a change of administration since then, and he is no longer in the country. Surprise, surprise. Now, on page 5 of the paper, we have a full-page ad by Chevrolet with a huge picture of a $50,000 Tahoe SUV. Not your ordinary SUV, but more like a supersized SUV. You know the kind I mean. Like a Ford Suburban, a Yukon, or a Cadillac Escalade. Just impossible to maneuver down here between the traffic, the narrow streets, and the pint-sized parking spots. An SUV like that down here, especially in the city, is the last word in stupidity for anyone who's got a brain. But who said Latins with money have brains? Brains don't seem to come with the package, you know? It's hard enough to get around and park when you've got a Nissan Sentra. And here's another big problem. Even if you find a parking spot, once you open the door 1 foot, you whack the car door next to you. So I ask you, who can afford a big $50,000 tugboat like that? And who would be stupid enough to buy one? Well, a lot of expat gringos can afford them, but they don't buy them. At least not after they've lived down here for a couple of years. The fact is, I do know some gringos that came down with money, and the first thing they did was buy a big boat like that. And they cried a little bit with every parking lot ding and bumper scrape. Expats like that who can afford to buy that stuff as soon as they get down here, they learn how to downsize in a hurry. So if expat gringos who can afford it aren't buying, who is? Medium and high-level Latin politicians, of course. Even the narcos aren't that stupid. They don't want to stand out in the crowd. And that's one of the points of being a Latin politician, to show everybody how big and important you are, to stand out in the crowd. Bodyguards and all, of course, and the God-given right to double park. Because they know no cops got the balls to give them a ticket. And of course, those narcos, they have all the money in the world. And they do have nice cars. But nice small cars, because if there is an accident or a traffic problem, they want to get through the bottleneck, not be the cause of it. And just one more thing about that full-page ad with that Chevy Tahoe. Now, why would a Chevy dealership take a full-page ad out if there wasn't a huge demand for that kind of crap? And Mercedes and Porsche and Range Rover do exactly the same thing, too. And on all the busy roads, you see giant billboards, the latest Mercedes, BMW, and Audi SUVs, too. And expats always wonder, how could there be a market to justify that kind of advertising? Well, I'm here to tell you, there is. Half of those vehicles are bought by businessmen who can actually afford them, and the other half are bought through the public trough for high-level government parasites who act like Saudi princes. Well, that just gives you an idea of the extreme nature of the class distinctions in third-world societies. When you got 80% of the population making less than $400 a month, yet you see full-page ads all the time for high-end SUVs. It would take the average Latin American guy at least 20 years of his salary to pay for a car like that. But as usual, that doesn't faze the politicians. They have no shame, we know that. That just comes with the territory. Okay, now I'm on page number 6. Now here's an article with some official data from the Ministerio de Salud, which is the health ministry. It says that in the year 2012, the public hospital system, that's the national health system, you know, the hospitals down here that provide free medieval care. Anyway, they report the statistic that in 2012, 1,896 babies were born to women under 14 years of age. Did you get that? To women under 14. And to all you guys without a calculator handy, that means babies born to women 13 and under. Whoa. And it says here that 90% of those births were to indigenous women, and the other 10% were Latina women, you know, Latinas. So what they're saying here is that the indigenous poor population, those are the women that are having these babies, ones that are forced to use the public health care system because they can't afford private hospitals. And it also says here the average level of schooling for those 1,800 women, or I should say child women, was fourth grade. So you can draw your own sad conclusions from that. Now, turning to page 6, we have a full-page cellular telephone ad telling us today that the company Movistar is offering triple the usual minutes if we purchase them for our prepaid phone today. Which, by the way, is always a very good deal. That means, for example, if you buy a prepaid card today and load it into your phone, you can call the United States for about 6 cents a minute. Not bad. And if you call locally, you're going to pay about 3 to 4 cents a minute. And when you think about that for a while, you'll see that's not such a good deal because your friend might be a half a kilometer away. And you're paying about half to three quarters the rate than if you were talking to someone 2,000 kilometers away in the States. Like I said, not such a good deal for the locals. But for expats with connections up in the States, it's actually a pretty great deal. But oh well. And by the way, you might be thinking, well, Skype is free, so why not use that? Well, yes, that's true. It is free. Except Skype has real privacy issues. You should read the disclaimer when you sign up for Skype. But if you have a cheap prepaid phone down here and you buy it anonymously, you really are anonymous. Nobody's keeping track of you at all. So yes, Skype and Magic Jack are cheaper. In fact, basically free. But just know that if you do use them, you should sign up using a fictitious name. That way, you're indirectly telling them to stick their privacy policy up where the sun don't shine. And you know, these internet services like Skype and your email services shouldn't call it a privacy policy. They should call it a loss of privacy policy. Because that's what it is, really. Problem is, nobody really reads those. Well, some of us do. So how can you stop Skype from using all your data and tracking you? You can do that by signing up for your Skype at one of those internet cafes. Just give them fictitious data and let them track that internet computer and not yours. Oh, and by the way, speaking of special phone company offers, down here every couple of days you'll see in the newspapers phone companies offering 3 times the minutes if you buy the phone card today. And that's only for those prepaid phones, but practically everyone down here has those anyway. Now, up in the States, I know that's not such a popular item, those throwaway phones, the ones you buy for 15 or 20 bucks, the ones you have to keep loading minutes into. Up in the States, it's traditionally been kind of a white trash stigma to have a prepaid phone. But down here in Latin America, 90% of the cell phones are prepaid, so there's no stigma at all. And as an aside, I advise you to get a prepaid phone or two because you can get the contract without giving them your real name. You can go completely anonymous on that phone. At least you could start it out that way, as long as you don't get sucked into giving out your personal data over the line to someone. Anyway, like I always say, the first step to becoming a good expat is to get on the road to being anonymous, and this is a good first step. Go ahead and get one of those prepaid phones at a drugstore or a convenience store or a gas station, and don't pay for it with a credit card. Buy it with cash and give fictitious stats. There's no crime in that. There's no law that says you got to give your right name. You're not signing a federal document. And even if the paperwork says you're breaking some kind of law if you give fictitious stats, screw that. I guarantee you're breaking 8 or 10 laws a day you don't even know about. I mean, look, the IRS code is 77,000 pages now. And every time Congress meets, they generate another 10,000 pages of laws and regs. Then there's all those laws and regs your state and local governments are passing. Anyway, just take it from me, you're breaking 8 or 10 laws every day, whether you know it or not. So let those young fools on Twitter and Facebook and all those social networks open their private lives to the world. You don't have to do that. Make yourself a couple of brand new email addresses with some glitzy name you always wanted to use. Then go ahead and sign up for all those free reports you always wanted, but you thought might be a bit too edgy. I mean, who knows what kind of list you get on these days for downloading things, especially if they're counter to the standard government line of BS. So go ahead and get on some government lists with your pseudonym, you know? And if you're worried that it's illegal to create an entirely different name for yourself and a new set of debts, don't fret. Movie stars and porn stars do it all the time, don't they? And you don't see them getting prosecuted or put in jail for it. That just never happens. So go ahead. If they can do it, you can too. But remember, the name Johnny Mueller's already taken. Bottom line, quit giving out your real name, or you're never going to be the least bit free. I'll tell you what, if you want to see how big your footprint is, just Google yourself. Then, after that, don't ever use Google again. Use startpage.com because they don't track you, record you, or keep any of your data at all. Startpage.com is Google without the snooping. But where was I? Oh yeah, those Latin daily newspapers and all the bad news that's fit to print. Okay, now we're on page 6 and we have a story that says that 5 military guys, including 2 colonels, have just gone in front of a judge and they're accused of robbing $1.2 million from the Ministry of Defense. And that crime goes back to 7 years ago. These guys took the money and didn't leave the country. They were caught living in luxury homes with a fleet of late model cars and SUVs. Again with the SUVs. Anyway, late model cars and SUVs packed into garages and lining the driveways of these guys' luxury homes. Typical, huh? And yes, they caught these guys after living the life of Riley for about 8 years in their own hometowns. But, as is usual in Latin America, nobody seems to be able to recover the money. Are you starting to see a pattern here? Now, on the next page, they have photos of a big drug bust. And this is the level of brain power they have written for this paper. It says, police discovered 419 pounds of cocaine. And then it says, in parentheses, that's 598.5 kilos. Now, for any of us who took fourth grade math, you'd know that 598.5 kilos of cocaine, or of anything, is about 1,300 pounds. Not anywhere near 419 pounds. Duh. But I doubt anyone but me actually made the conversion, you know? And on the same page, they show a picture of a marijuana crop. It says that they just destroyed 8,000 matas of marijuana in the northeastern part of the country. Now, this I like. The definition of a mata is a plot. And how big a plot is anyone's guess. Which means there's an awful lot of wiggle room there now, isn't there? Anyway, on the next page, page 8 of the paper, we see a bunch of police carrying away plastic bags. It says here, 2 women's cadavers have been found in a shallow grave. And the police say it's believed to have been part of a revenge killing between rival drug gangs. Now, that's the kind of stuff that really scares expat wannabes. But believe me, us expats do not go anywhere near the places that stuff happens. But it is news, especially when women are the victims, so they print it. Let's read on. And then on the next page, page 9, we've got this story, which seems to show up about every 3 or 4 days in every Latin American paper. It says, Jose Angel Ramirez, 67 years old, was killed while driving his chicken bus. Of course, I'm translating there. Fact is, only gringos, expats, and wannabes use the term chicken bus. If you say chicken bus down here, the locals don't know what the hell you're talking about. To them, it's just a bus. It doesn't matter how many chickens, goats, or iguanas are on board. Chickens and animals are bona fide passengers, too. Although they do ride for free. Anyway, in this story, it seems that two guys with masks tried to board the bus. And the driver floored it before they could get on. Some shots were fired and a stray bullet caught the driver in the head. And the lesson here is, don't ride the chicken bus. Go ahead and take some pictures from out on the curb, but don't ride the chicken bus. Now, a little farther down page 9, it says here that 6 agents from the Policía Nacional Civil, which is the civil police, were caught with 2 stolen late model trucks and a bodega, a garage, full of stolen merchandise. And I'm telling you guys right now, every single paper, every single day has a story like this in it. It really seems that 3/4 of all the crimes in Latin America are perpetrated by either politicians, the police, the military, or ex-police and ex-military. And it seems that the other 25% of the crimes seem to be split between your normal big city delinquents and crooked rent-a-cops and bodyguards who steal from their own bosses. And if you really analyze those statistics, you'll see why it's pretty safe to be a gringo or an expat down here. We don't have bodyguards, we don't show off our wealth, and we don't go anywhere near those neighborhoods where all that kind of crime is happening. And the crooks that are in the police and the military, they certainly don't pick on us. They go after the real obvious big scores. They don't go after low-profile expats like us. And when I say they go after the obvious big scores, I'm talking about warehouses and businesses that have a lot of cash on hand. And banks, especially banks. Because down here, unlike in the first world, just looking strictly at the odds, bank robbery absolutely pays. Though it's not quite so lucrative in the big cities, where about 1 in 4 bank robbers are actually caught, still, those are pretty good odds, wouldn't you say? But out in the smaller towns, in the boonies, at the branch banks, less than 1 out of 8 bank robbers is ever caught. And when they are caught, it's often months and years after the crime. Because, like I said a little earlier, these guys are so confident about not getting caught, or they're so stupid, that they end up getting recognized somewhere close by. Most often going back to the old poor neighborhood, and suddenly, to the surprise of their poor or lower middle class neighbors, there's a new car or SUV in the driveway. Yep, most of the time that's the way it happens. And these guys are never caught by crack police work. They're caught because they're turned in by a jealous family member or neighbor, often because they didn't quite share the wealth enough, if you know what I mean. So, down here in Latin America, especially in the boonies, with all that first world technology and cameras and stuff, you'd think they'd catch the robber 95% of the time like they do up in the first world. Up there, for sure, bank robbery doesn't pay. In fact, the odds are terribly against you, like 20 to 1. But down here, especially in the boonies, robbing a bank is practically a sure thing. Because you see, after a while, the cameras and the technology just doesn't work like it did when it was first installed. Remember, they've got big-time maintenance issues here. Let's read on. Okay, now here's a full-page ad from another cell phone company, showing there's a sale on 6 different kinds of BlackBerries. Now, everybody up north knows that BlackBerries are passé, but down here, somehow, people have the idea that they're very first world and very cool. And also, down here, there's a huge black market for stolen BlackBerries. They just switch the chips and reprogram them, and you can buy them for a half to a third the price of a new one. You know, in every medium to large-sized Latin city, there are specific places you can go to buy stolen stuff like that. You ask a taxi driver where you could buy a, quote, used, unquote, BlackBerry, and he'll know exactly where to take you. I'm telling you, I've never ever met a Latin rich or poor who thinks that pirating is a sin or a crime. Down here, it's not about morality or justice, it's about the price. In fact, just a few weeks ago, a Latin business friend of mine bought 4 legitimate BlackBerries in a package deal on a deal that the cell phone company was offering. That's 4 BlackBerries, one for him, one for his wife, and one for each of his 2 spoiled teenage kids. Exactly what I don't recommend. And just 4 days after he gave his wife her new BlackBerry, she was driving her late model Toyota SUV, a Ford tuner, you've seen those, right? which is another purchase I never recommend for expats. Anyway, she was driving in a busy section of town at noon while on her BlackBerry when a motorcycle with two guys on it and no plates weaved through the traffic, pulled right up to the driver's side, tapped on her window with his gun, and motioned to hand it over. So in the end, she ended up handing it over and calling her husband on an old cheap throwaway phone that she paid $20 for that was in the glove compartment, the one she never should have retired in the first place. But with Latins, it's all about the show, right? So in this example, I guess you can see exactly who thieves like to target. Women in late model SUVs and people gabbing away in the car on high-end cell phones. Now the funny thing is, Latins always ask me, Johnny, why don't you have a BlackBerry or an iPhone or some kind of a smartphone? When they see the old throwaway job I'm using, they just can't believe that me, a gringo, would have something cool with all those bells and whistles on it. And get this, one of my wealthier Latin buddies even offered to give me his old BlackBerry because he'd traded up to a newer model. I said no thanks, of course. The thing is, I can't go through the analysis with these Latin guys that I go through with you guys. They just don't get it. I mean, after all, we are using those guys as the example not to follow now, aren't we? But it doesn't matter. Even if I did go through the whole spiel, they wouldn't listen to me anyway. That's how strong the desire is to be first world. These guys with a little money think they gotta have those things. And they can't really understand why us expats who come down don't really crave that stuff. We sure don't fit the mold they're used to seeing on US cable TV, you know? And for us, that's the point, right? My Latin friends are no different from other Latins. They want to appear to be first world in every way. And nothing's gonna stop them. Not even a few robberies or assaults now and then. So, what happened to my friend's wife? Well, after she got that four-day-old BlackBerry stolen at gunpoint, now she has another one. But guess what? This time, they bought theft insurance on the damn thing. And yes, it was hard for me to believe at first, but those BlackBerries and other smartphones get stolen so often that now when you buy a legitimate one from the dealer, they'll offer you theft insurance. Oh, the insanity of it all, huh? Why not buy a $20 job? That's its own best insurance, right? And by the way, with the average salary down here of $300 a month, who else but wealthy businessmen can afford to pay $200, $300, or $400 for a BlackBerry? Well, it's not just businessmen. You should see what I see when I drive past government buildings during a workday. Every single government suit, even the bodyguards and the drivers, are talking on BlackBerries, which means the wives, the friends, and family members of politicians are using BlackBerries too. That's nothing more than a combination of the gringo wannabe and the lag time effect. It's par for the course, you know? Now, turning to page 12, I think you're going to enjoy this. It says here that 500 families are blocking the Central Historic District in the city of Cocon, protesting to the municipality that they haven't had water service for the last 2 months. Think about it. 2 months without a drop coming out of your faucet. That means they have to haul water from the lake or the river or a public well or buy it from one of the local water companies on a tanker truck. And I'm sure there's a connection between those private water delivery companies like that and local politicians like the mayor and the aldermen, if you know what I mean. So anyway, for 2 months, no water in Hokong. Now, of course, this is way out in the boonies where they don't get much government service at all. That kind of stuff never happens in the big city. Sure, in the big city, the water may not be on the whole day. You might only get 8 or 10 hours. But you do get water every day. And that's why everyone's got a cistern. They've learned to live with it. But out in the sticks, far away from the powers of government in the big city, things like this happen all the time. And of course, what they're talking about here is the public municipal water supply. And like I've said many times before, expats and gringos, we never want to be on the public water supply. We always want to be in a colony or a subdivision with our own well. And in the case that you happen to be located in an older part of a big city where you're forced to be on municipal water because you don't have any place to put a well, the next best thing is to put in a big cistern on your roof or underground. And I emphasize, put in the biggest one you possibly can. That way, if you have very little volume and very low pressure in the house, at least when you're sleeping at night, your cistern will slowly fill up over the next few hours. And you'll have a big old water reserve for the next day when the demand is high and everybody's being rationed again. So anyway, nothing new. These guys haven't had water for 2 months. And you can see by the photo that they're all indigenous people. Nothing new there either. They've got no political power and they pull no weight at all. These guys are too far from the center of power in the capital city to get any attention at all, except when voting time comes. And you can bet your life by then that water problem will be fixed, and the incumbents will brag about that success in their political platform. It's all so predictable. And you wonder why you read sometimes that the mayor's been lynched or his house has been burned down. That might happen in an off election year, when the politicians don't need anyone's votes, you know? That's when political greed and corruption can backfire. When the poor classes rise up and really get pissed off, that's when the occasional politician gets smoked out. After all, he's the guy with the nicest house, the Range Rover, and the private well. Something his constituents could never dream of having. Okay, what else have we got? On the same page of the paper next to that news item about water, there's a picture of a chicken bus that's rolled off a cliff, leaving 7 dead and 13 injured. Need I say more about chicken buses? So anyway, going through these articles in the first 10 or so pages of the daily newspaper, you get an idea that things are awfully bad down here in Honduras. I mean, in the first 11 or 12 pages, there wasn't a single positive article. Nothing but corruption and disaster and dead bodies, right? Well, that's the case with all the daily newspapers down here. No wonder first world people who can understand a little bit of Spanish often, at the last minute, change their minds about coming down to Latin America. But let me just point out that there wasn't a single article that mentioned a gringo or an expat in any way at all. Did you notice that? For some reason, nobody's singling us out, now are they? And I'd like to point out just one last thing. Right after page 12, that's when all the happy and positive articles started to appear. I didn't read you any of those because good news is boring, right? And believe it or not, even after all that bad news, there's page after page after page of good news. Happy, smiling people at festivals and malls and amusement parks and church gatherings. They really do know how to have fun. And on the cheap. You certainly don't see anything like that up in the first world newspapers. Sure, there's the appearance of good news up there, but people just don't seem to be all that happy about things. In fact, even when they look like they're having fun, they seem to be slightly worried about something. You know? So what's the bottom line about reading a Latin newspaper and seeing all that bad news? Well, I view it like this. When you come down to Latin America, you can look for the bad, and you'll find it. But if you look for the good, you're going to find that too. Now, I'm not telling you shouldn't believe what's in the papers. There's no doubt the articles I read to you today are true. So go ahead and read the Latin papers. I recommend it. Just don't get caught up in all that bad news. Like Expat Eddie says, we expats don't live in that world. We live in the other part of Latin America, the part that comes after page 12.
South of the border, down Mexico way.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, Living in Latin America, coming to you each week from somewhere south of the border. And don't forget, you can email me on anything at all about Latin America, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. See you next time. Nos vemos.
Ah, she was a picture. He knows.